Welcome to Chronic Lymphocytic Leukemia Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. John Gribben from Barts Cancer Institute in London, UK, and to begin, he discussed a 73-year-old patient with CLL from his practice.
So I guess in CLL, it was always an issue that this is a disease of the elderly, and the most efficacious treatments we used to have were always in clinical trials done for younger, fitter patients. The hugely attractive things about drugs like ibrutinib are how well tolerated they are. So clearly, these have opened up treatment approaches for more elderly people. So case here is a very typical person. She's in her 70s. She presents with early stage disease, picked up at a routine medical. She's asymptomatic for a number of years and watched and waited. And her blood count goes up. Hemoglobin starts to drop, platelets start to drop. And then the usual feature I see that most often drives me to start talking about treatment is this feature of increasing fatigue that people talk about also. And of course, for lots of women, the cervical lymphadenopathy, as occurred in this case, can often be an issue which some people worry about. So the whole question to me here is about, you know, where do you reach the point where you do move from watch and wait to treat? I personally don't like the idea that there's a certain white count that you use to determine when you treat somebody, or that there's a particular size of lymph nodes. Some people find some lymph nodes not a problem. Other people, you know, find the idea of having a few lymph nodes really distressing. So it's all about talking to the patient and finding out how they're coping with their symptoms.
What about this patient? You said she had some lymphadenopathy. Where was it?
She had some lymphadenopathy, mostly cervical. So for her, this was a big issue, that there were big kind of cervical lymph nodes appearing that were increasing in size. She felt them to be very unsightly. She was very self-conscious about it. It made her kind of be aware and thinking about her disease a great deal more. And when she just had the lymphocytosis, she'd been coping with the disease much better. As soon as those lymph nodes started to increase in size and her friends started asking about her disease, she found that to be a feature that she found very, very uncomfortable. But I would say that accompanied with the lymph node swelling was it was the fatigue that was increasing that really made me start to talk to her about treatment options.
I wanted to ask you about that. Do you think that the fatigue sort of goes beyond anemia?
Yeah, I'm very clear in my mind. What also I find fascinating about the CLL patients is how some patients can, I'll talk a bit, little bit later about the very opposite, about somebody profoundly anemic, still bicycling into work every day, and what looks like the same disease burden can have a very different impact on one individual than the other. I certainly am aware that I've got patients with still normal hemoglobins with a relatively modest lymphocytosis who can be very fatigued. And I've got other patients with white counts of 200-300 that I continue to watch because they're completely remaining asymptomatic. So what is it about the disease that impacts and causes this fatigue in some individuals more than in others with what look like exactly the same parameters is something I've thought about. And we don't really know a great deal about why it is. But I kind of talk to my patients about that it's basically about how your body reacts to having that CLL burden on board.
I've actually, I sort of recall, I can't remember, it was MD Anderson or maybe a few places that actually have fatigue clinics.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing, of course, to remember in this disease is that in this case, people have got the disease for years. And what I find is you've got to really question these people quite closely because people start to adapt. And, you know, you find out, they're saying, are you feeling fatigued? And they answer, oh, no. And then you go a little bit deeper and you're finding out they're having a nap every afternoon. They're going to bed earlier. They've stopped playing golf. So they're not complaining about it, but they've adapted their lifestyle. And what I invariably find is that people will often say once you start treatment and you get their disease under control and the fatigue goes away, they almost invariably say, gosh, I didn't realize how fatigued I had been until you started treating me and I got better. Because they'd so slowly drifted down into that state of fatigue and got used to it. And a lot of people in this age group also, a bit like myself, tend to kind of say, well, you know, it's kind of usual that I'm a bit more tired as I get older. So people kind of adapt for it, think it's nothing to be concerned about. But this, to me, becomes a real feature that I don't think we've been paying enough attention to in the past.